That's great, huh? Okay, let's stand. Read a little bit here in Galatians 5. What a blessing. Got the best Sunday school teachers in the world right here. Galatians 5 and then 2 Corinthians 5 also, if you will get that in one hand. And we're going to read a little bit of what we read last week there in 2 Corinthians 5. And while you're finding that, I'll start in verse 22 of Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again, today we'll talk about faith. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what we'll deal with mainly today, the fact that we should walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you. I ask you to please bless this time. Thank you for blessing the service so far. And Lord, if it weren't for you, then this singing and all this Bible memorization and all the stuff here, it wouldn't be nearly as good. Lord, we know that you make it good and you, your Spirit empowers it. And Lord, we ask you just to work on folks here today and help me as I try to preach through this thing. And Lord, I pray that everything, every hindrance, every whatever it is that's in between my mouth and the listener's ears, I pray that you'd remove that, and I pray that you'd make these truths real clear. And Lord, I'm afraid we're not a people of faith, and we need to be that way more and more. So help us to grow and take the veil away from our eyes today and shine the light on what it needs to shine on. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you do in this church and the families of this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Well, we talked about faith last time, and figured out that I think that most of us are deficient in this area, don't have enough faith. We're relying on everything else except for God most of the time. Amen. We're Americans. We got all kinds of different avenues and all kinds of different things that we can try to take care of our situation or our problem before we get to, I think, what's for most of us the final avenue, and that's God. And that's a shame. That's a shame. It ought to be the other way around. We ought to try God first. Amen? We're supposed to be, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we're supposed to be walking by faith. And I showed you that Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received him, so walk ye in him. So everybody knows we're supposed to walk by faith, right? But we were supposed to have received him the same way. And the way that, if you're here and saved, you know how you got saved? You received Jesus Christ by faith. Amen. Not by joining the church and not by taking the sacraments. I don't care what Father Jay says. He's a nut. Amen. Doesn't know what he's talking about. So, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more tonight, but you don't receive Jesus Christ by being sprinkled as a baby or being baptized in water as an adult. And you don't receive Jesus Christ by going through a new converts course. You receive Jesus Christ in faith. Amen. For we're saved by grace through faith. Okay? So, aren't you just glad you're saved?
Amen.
Man, I mean, aren't you glad you don't have to do anything to be saved?
Yeah.
You can't do it right. I mean, if the Lord said, do this to be saved, you and I couldn't do it right.
Amen.
We'd mess it up.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Man, it's good to be saved, huh?
Amen.
Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's just run a few references here and just see what faith really is and try to find out what it's really not today. And I'm going to give you some things here at the end that I think will increase your faith. Anybody in here willing to admit that you need your faith increased?
Amen.
We're afraid to pray for that because we're afraid of what's going to happen if we pray that way. You know, anybody ever pray, teach me patience, and then look at that thing 6 months down the road and think, why did I say that?
Amen.
I'm not trying to scare you away, but You know, if you really want faith or want to increase your faith, then I'll give you a few ways to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Let's look at Paul here right at the end of his life. And he says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the what?" Faith. Paul said that at the end of his life here on this earth. If he was able to say that after beatings, fastings off, being whipped, being turned aside by his brethren, the Jews, being persecuted by the Gentiles, being having people like Demas save people. I think Demas was probably saved. Turn their back on him and go the other way. Speak ill of him, say bad things about him. All this stuff that he endured that we found out most of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Being stoned in the book of Acts and left for dead. And if he can say, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course after all that, then where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? If you died right now, could you say, I've kept the faith? I wonder. Keeping the faith is not simply believing. It's believing the right things, but it's putting in practice those things too. Amen? I'm afraid that there's a lot of Christians that couldn't come right down to the end of their life and say, I've kept the faith. I'm afraid they turned their backs on God when it got rough. Amen? They might still be in church, but they might not be in church. You know, you can be here and not be here. Amen? I see it all the time. You can preach and people be thinking about all kinds of other stuff. They're not thinking about what you're saying. They get up here and sing, and it's the greatest thing. Man, the Holy Ghost just gets right up here and helps them sing, and people just can't appropriate that truth to their heart for some reason. It just doesn't affect them like it used to. You say, why? Because they're thinking about other stuff. They ain't here. They ain't really here. I wonder what it would take for us to lose our faith. Well, it took a lot for Paul, amen. He still didn't lose it, and he went through a lot, right? Come to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Sometimes I get up here and preach something, and I think, you know, if these people get that, it'll change their lives. Most of the time that's true, but sometimes that's really true. Sometimes that's extraordinarily true. And when I say that now, when I study and put this thing together, I say, hey, man, if those people get that, it's going to change them. You know what I know then? I know the devil's going to do everything he can to keep me from preaching that the right way so you can get it. He's in opposition to some messages a whole lot more than he is others. And he knows that if you can get what's on this page and put it in your heart, then you're going to be changed. And you're going to be something that's good for the kingdom of God. Amen. And you're going to be something that's good for heaven and good for this earth. And you're going to be no good for him anymore. Luke 17 verse 1 says this. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's a good prayer. I don't know if they knew really what they were praying at the time, but they knew what they needed. Now, you might not pray it, I don't know, because of a lot of different things. Maybe you really don't want it, maybe fear, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. It would be a good prayer for you and I today to get in this altar and say, Lord, increase our faith. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, now listen, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. So, having read that, they said, increase our faith. Then the Lord told them that story. I think faith might just be the willingness to do something that God tells you to do. And faith also might be the willingness to do something that God tells you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. God ever told you to do anything that doesn't make any sense whatsoever? God ever asked you to do something that you think, man, if I do that, then all those people standing there, they're just going to think I'm crazy. That just don't make any sense, Lord. But faith might be just trusting God to take care of that situation. Like we talked about last week, you pray about going soul winning, and then you think, well, the situation's not right for me to go soul winning. I better not do it. If God told you to do it, you better just have enough faith to go do it and let Him take care of it. What you're doing is you're getting rid of a chance for God to show how strong and how powerful and how mighty He is to overcome a certain situation that you hadn't accounted for, but He had accounted for. Now, Matthew chapter 8. We need help in this area. I need help in this area. I'll say I. You can if you want to include yourself with me. We don't trust God enough. We don't trust Him. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man, what's the next word? I think we read over that and think it says in. It doesn't say in authority. It says under authority. Because we read the next section, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. We read across that thing thinking, oh yeah, that guy's in authority. He tells this guy what to do. But he's under authority. See? Just because he has somebody under him doesn't mean there's not somebody over him. And I tell you something else he recognizes that most of Israel doesn't recognize. The guy he's talking to is over him. See, most of Israel didn't recognize that when Jesus showed up. See? And then verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ made that statement in light of the fact that He had healed that blind man, spit in his eyes, and he got to where he could see again, and He says, you got more faith than that guy. The Lord said that about this. He said, I've not seen this great of faith in Israel, even in light of the fact that that woman that come up in the crowd and touched the hem of His garment, and she was made whole. The Lord made that statement in light of the fact that Simeon held up the Christ child when he was 8 days old. Amen? And said, I've seen God's Messiah. I've seen God, the Lord's Christ, see, in Luke chapter 2. So this guy evidently said something, or there was something in his heart where the Lord said, hey, this guy's got some faith. Now, he had humility along with that. He said, I'm not worthy for you to even come into my house. And when he said that thou shouldest come into my roof, he said, but speak the word only. You know what he was insinuating? He was insinuating, I know you. And you don't have to come to my house to heal that. You can just do it right here. See, the children of Israel said, you know, come show us a sign. Come show us this. Come over here and show. He don't have to go in. He's in the third heaven right now doing things for you sitting here right now. Amen. Now, I know He's in us, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. But physically, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, you don't have to come to my house. You can do it right where you're standing. I don't care if I had a sick kid on Jupiter, you could, right there where you're at right now, you could take care of it right now if you wanted to. I know that. Guy had faith, did he not? Well, because of what this guy says in verse 9, I think that faith has something to do with just doing what you're told. That's hard, isn't it? I wrote this quote down from somebody else, and it makes a lot of sense. Quote, faith is your estimation of God's ability. What do you think God's abilities are? I know what you think they are in your head. What about in your heart? How much do you really trust Him? It's hard, isn't it? When exercised, the physical senses become very good. Would you agree with that? You exercise your taste buds, some of you, quite a bit. Some of you, we could stick, I don't care what it is, peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and strawberry, peanut butter and grape, peanut butter and banana. Some of you crazy people eat peanut butter and jelly and mayonnaise. That is disgusting. It's disgusting. We could stick a hamburger, a cheeseburger, and decorate it 2-3 different ways and do all kinds of taste tests with you. And there's a lot of you in here that could say, that is a hamburger, and it's got cheddar cheese on it, and lettuce, tomato, ketchup, and mustard, and it's from Chops. You'd know where it was from. Some of you eat certain places so much. Some of you, we could stick a Diet Coke in front of you, and you'd say, that's Diet Coke. Stick a Diet Pepsi, that's Diet Pepsi. Come on, amen. If you exercise those physical abilities, they get real good. All your physical attributes, they get real good. Now, our question is, how can we do this in the spiritual world? The spiritual world is not out in the heavens somewhere. It's right here, right now, right? You are a spiritual creature right now. The spiritual is more real than the physical. The spiritual stuff is eternal. The physical is not. We're spending all kinds of time exercising physical attributes and all this physical senses and all this stuff when we ought to be exercising spiritual senses. Because that stuff, it lasts forever. Has anybody ever heard somebody say about somebody else, oh, he's in another world? Sometimes it wouldn't be so bad to be in another world. Some of the people that I know that are in another world are a whole lot better off. Because all the physical senses, they're not worried about all that stuff. They're just off somewhere in la-la land. Amen. We often used to pick on Brooke and tell her that she was, you know, when Brooke was in a trance, she hadn't done that in a long time. She's unfortunately not in that other world anymore. But when she used to get in that other world, we'd pick on her and say, Brooke, are you talking to Uncle Donnie? Because he's always in another world, amen? And I'm bragging on him, Mom. That's a good place to be. See, I don't want to get in trouble there. If you don't eat for a few days, some of you fast, and I don't know about it, but I'm sure some of you do fast for certain things. If you don't eat for a few days, it'll change your taste buds. If you walk into a bright room after being in a dark room, it takes a while to adjust, see? And we're all about those physical things, but we need to get in tune to some spiritual things. Come to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show you what I mean. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm thinking that if we exercise our spiritual senses here, we'll be a whole lot better with faith. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Do you think that verse, that past feeling there, you think that's physical or spiritual? That's spiritual. That's not physical. I'm afraid there's a group of people that have got into a place where they're past feeling, but it's spiritual, it's not physical. Are you as grieved about the lost as you used to be? You as interested in missions as you used to be? I mean, when you first got saved? You remember when you used to, as a child or maybe as a teenager, you used to see those commercials on TV of them swell-bellied little kids with the flies around their heads and they had no food. And I know somebody's, a lot of times it's a racket, you know, and they're making money off you trying to, you know, your sympathy. I understand that. Americans, for the most part, are sympathetic people. You show them those pictures, they'll send money. Amen. You remember when you used to see that and almost cry or maybe even cry because you thought, man, we got it made here. And now you look at it and you think, like I just said, you look at it and you think, somebody's making money off that. I ain't sending no money over there. Something wrong. We're past feeling. I'd hate to be a mortician. I don't think I could do it. I would be afraid that death would just be commonplace for me and I'd just get used to it. You know, no big deal. You know, roll him in here, do this, do that, take care of her, you know. That's a big deal. I would never want to get that way. It scares me to get to where I'd be past feeling. We used to be real interested in missions. I think we still are, but I think we could intensify it a little more. Amen? home and foreign missions. Come on, amen. We are creatures that make decisions based on what we see. And that's physical, that's not spiritual. You know the Lord wept over Jerusalem there in Matthew 23? Do you think He wept over the fact that He looked down there and saw that there were people that were poverty-stricken and didn't have anything to eat? Or He wept over the fact that maybe physically this situation wasn't working out the way it should work out? Do you think He was really weeping over that? Or do you think He was weeping over their spiritual condition and the fact that they had rejected Him, and in rejected Him, they had rejected Jehovah God, their God, who delivered them from Egypt and who worked all the miracles and signs and wonders in their sight? When He looked at them, He looked at more than just on the outside. He could see on the inside and see that spiritually, I'm weeping over you. You're in a bad way. The Lord gets sick and weeps over the church at Laodicea. You say, why? Because He can see that overall we're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and all these other things. Not outward stuff, but spiritually speaking. We're in a mess spiritually. We need faith. Amen? And He did weep over Jerusalem. Now, what would you think if the Lord... what do you think He'd say if He come here and looked at Seymour? If He wept over Jerusalem, what do you think He'd do about Seymour right now? If He saw all the booze and all the broken homes and all the hurting kids and all the parents that parents are not fit to raise a dog, let alone a kid.
Amen.
Amen. You think He'd weep over that? Well, you better bet He would. I think He would. Now, oh boy. Faith is a conscious awareness of what you can't see with the physical eye. Doesn't the Lord showed you some things since you've been saved that you know you couldn't have seen if He wouldn't have showed it to you? People say, preacher, I ain't never seen the Bible like I've seen it since I come to this church. I mean, I come to this church and I've listened to this Sunday school teaching and some of this preaching, and I say, I've been in church all my life. I've never seen that stuff. And you say, well, preacher, thank you. You know, glory to God. I say, uh-uh. That ain't me. No. That's God. That's God, see. That's God using Brother Parker. That's God using Miss Lisa. That's God using Daniel. Come on. That's God using Miss Parker and Dolly and everybody at Chrissy and everybody else that's had part in the Sunday school and all the other stuff. Awana, all the Awana stuff. Them kids say, I learned this, I learned that. Y'all got a good teacher? Yeah, you do have a good teacher. But that teacher you got's got a much better teacher.
Amen.
See? So faith is a conscious awareness of what you can't see with the physical eye. A young fellow was talking one day in a big group of people. He said, I'll never believe anything I can't understand. And an old farmer heard him, and he walked up to the group of people. He said, son, when I came into town today, I saw the sheep feeding over in this common place, eating grass. You believe that? He said, yeah, I believe it. He said, when I about just 50 yards past that, I seen calves feeding. You believe that? Yeah, I believe it. He said, I seen the pigs eating too. They were eating when I come into town. You believe that? Yeah, I believe it. He said, I seen the geese feeding right before I come in here. I saw them feeding. You believe that? He said, yeah, I believe it. He said, that those sheep eating that grass, that's going to produce wool. And them calves eating, that's going to produce hair on them. And then them pigs, it's going to produce bristles. And then them geese, he said, them eating, feeding what they're feeding on, it's going to produce feathers. He said, you believe that? He said, yeah, I believe it. And that old man looked right in that young boy's eyes. He said, do you understand it? He said, no, I don't understand it. He said, if you live long enough, you're going to find out you're going to believe a lot of stuff that you don't understand. And you already now, a lot of you are already at the place where you say, I don't understand that all the way, but I believe it. I don't understand all this. I don't understand all this. It'd take the God of the universe to work out a plan like this without flaw. I don't get all that, but I believe it.
Amen.
I believe every word of it.
Amen.
Call me simple. The old saints had faith that we need. Amen. They just trusted God. They didn't look at a budget. They didn't go into life in a haphazard way. Don't get me wrong. But they wasn't worried about how it worked out on paper. They worried about how God's going to work it out. They said, if God guides, He provides. And God said do it, so we're going to do it, and He'll take care of it. And that's just how it works. You know, twins, they prove that twins can feel each other. And I don't care if one of them's in Seattle and the other one's in Russia. They can still, they know something's going on with the other one, some of them. We ought to be that way with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? Amen? Well, I mean, the Lord ought to be able to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Ghost ought to be able to wake you up and say, pray for Brother David. Pray for Brother Macklin. Pray for Brother Barton. Pray for Joan Donovan. And you ought to just say, okay, Lord. That the Holy Ghost is what connects us as believers. And what should increase our faith when we get into a position like that. That should increase our faith. Now, well, it's an old trick, but let me try it. Let's see here. I need a volunteer. Ronnie. Come on up here, buddy. Let's see here. If I can. Just stay right down there, brother, if you will. No, I'll tell you what. Come right up here. Who did that? I know who did that. Real funny.
He might have got a knife. That's a hatchet knot.
He's getting on me, telling me that we need to pray for his son for buying a Ford. Oh. Okay, Ronnie, right there you go. Stand right in front of that, will you? Let's get you a blindfold on here. Do you trust your preacher, Ronnie?
I don't believe so.
I'll tell you in a minute, he says. Okay, turn around. Let's put this thing on here. Turn right there and face the crowd there. Let's see if we can. That ain't going to work right there. Let's see if I have to. I'll have to do it diagonally. You got a big head. All right, let's see that right there. Now, don't lie to me now. You tell me if you can see, okay? All right, can you see?
No.
You're sure? Okay. That chair was behind you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and sit down. Yeah. Okay, that's good. You can take it off. He didn't really trust me. Go ahead, brother. Thank you. That's how we are with God right there. Amen. Sit down, son. When God says sit down, just sit down. Amen, now, I don't blame Ronnie because I ain't God. And he knows that. And he said, behind that chair is something I'm going to hit my backside or my head on. And I don't really want to do that. Let's see here. Come here, Cody. This old stuff, but we'll do it anyway. You know, it illustrates something real good. Stand right here and look that way for me, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes.
You sure?
No.
Yeah. See? Now, have I ever storied to you, son?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just keep your hand straight out, okay? Just keep your hand straight out right here, all right? Now, you fall back and I'll catch you. You ready? Just fall. Do it again. You don't trust me, do you? Go ahead, I got you. Okay, that's good. Okay, Shane, come on. No, I'm joking. Get him off of me. Our faith's weak. We're weak. Just don't trust God. Now, Cody, that was fun. But I'm going to teach you a lesson here you can use for the rest of your life. Okay? There's sometimes I won't be able to catch you. Sometimes I might not have great advice for you. I'll help you and pray for you. But I'm going to tell you something, son. God will always take care of you.
Amen.
If God tells you to step out, then He won't let you step over the cliff. Okay?
Amen.
He'll take care of you.
Amen.
If He tells you just sit down or just fall backwards, I promise you He'll take care of you every time. See, I'm a man. God's not a man that He should lie. Amen? He will take care of you. Now, you come to Psalm 62, and I'm going to give you about six things here. You want to increase your faith? We need it quickly. I'm going to give you six things here. And I'm going to give you some of them that you know, but you can write them down anyway. Number one, by spiritual exercises. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, just the common things you do. You read your Bible. You pray. You soul win. God will increase your faith in soul winning in a big way. We go out there to try to win the lost and be a blessing to them, but the fact of the matter is we learn a lot about God on soul winning.
Amen.
I've seen God give me answers that I hadn't prepared for in a confrontation or a discussion with somebody while soul winning, and God's just given me the answer and taken care of it. I've seen God turn the lights on for people. I've seen God turn the lights off for people. I've seen Him do all kinds of different things on soul winning. And it increases our faith when we soul win. Number two, just by silence, and that's why you're in Psalm 62. Let's have a grown man stand up and read Psalm 62. Who'll do that? Anybody? Grown man? Somebody that's already turned to it? Just stand up and read it real loud. Anybody? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Psalm 62.
Surely my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Sit up. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
Amen. Verse 1 said this, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Okay? The first thing that I told you was the spiritual exercises increase your faith. Number two is silence. You know what that thing in verse 5 about waiting on God and that thing in verse 1? You know, I looked that word up, and I'm not talking about Hebrew. I'm talking about English. You know what the meaning that's carried with the word wait? It's to be silent. Sometimes when you wait on God, you just got to be quiet. Amen? That's hard for the ladies, not because they're busybodies and run their mouths, but because they're so busy. Amen? Ladies, if you hadn't figured it out, ladies or men, ladies got it figured out. Men, they're busy people. They got a lot of stuff going on. You showed me a lady that takes care of the home and takes care of the kids and homeschools and does all the running she has to do and taking people here and there and doing all that stuff. They're busy. They're busy. It's hard for a Christian female just to sit down somewhere and wait on God in a certain situation. Come on, we need to pray for them. Number three, submission. Submission. Just do what God asks you to do without any questions. He's in authority, isn't he? Just like the Roman centurion said, you know, same thing. Look, you know, you understand authority. Some people tell me what to do. I tell some people what to do. So I'm humble. You just tell me what to do. But I know what you're capable of. Number four, sincerity. Sincerity. I don't think we're sincere in faith. 1 Timothy 1:5 talks about faith unfeigned. That's a sincerity in faith. It's not pretentious. It's not acting like you're full of faith and not being full of faith. It's real faith, okay? It's really placing your faith and trust in God. Are you saved? Well, you've trusted Him for your eternal destiny. Why don't you trust Him for something else? Right? Number five, that's sincerity. Number five is steadfastness, and it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. These people at Thessalonica grew in faith so much? Because they stayed faithful during a trial. The measure of your faith is not when things are going real good. The measure of your faith is when things aren't going your way. I bet some of you have grown a lot in faith. I bet some of you have grown over the past few years. I bet you've grown a whole lot in faith just because some of the things the Lord's allowed you to go through. Do you trust Him more now than you ever have? Dr. J.W. Beagle was at the Mexican Convention for Missions. He was a Southern Baptist in years gone by, back when they believed something. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, the two differences in us, the reason we're not Southern Baptists is because of our stand on the King James Bible and missions.
Amen.
Those two things. You say, what divides? Those two things. We believe that God's Word is preserved for us, every word, as English-speaking people. They don't.
Right.
We send $100 to a missionary, he gets $100. Yeah. They send $100 to a cooperative program, and the missionary might get $75, maybe.
Yeah.
Best case. You say, that's the difference. But this guy was Southern Baptist back when they believed like we, and they practice what we preach here today, see. So he was at the Mexican Convention in a session, and he got word during the middle part of the day up towards the evening that his wife had been in a terrible accident, so he jumped on the train and headed back for home in Atlanta. And they left messages on the way by stations where the train fellow, the conductor there, could reach off and grab that message while they went slow by station and read that message. And the conductor grabbed the message, and it was for Mr. Beagle, so he took it to him, and Mr. Beagle sat down, and he sat down next to him, and he said, "This is a very, very important message." He knew that by the color of the envelope that was in. And Dr. Beagle sat down, and he said, it's a message of death. I'm sure it is. He said, "I'm sure she's gone." And he opened up that letter, and he started to read that letter. And he began, tears came up in his eyes, and they weren't tears of sorrow, but they were tears of joy, because he read this, quote, "Mexican convention in session all night praying for your wife. She will get well." People back then could pray and get an answer from God and just get up from prayer and say, "I know God's going to do this. He's going to take care of it." And now we don't have enough faith to pray like that. We pray and get up and say, well, Calvinistically, whatever will be shall be. I don't know. People used to be in tune with God and have enough faith to talk to God, and God talked right back to him and give him an answer. And God gave that Mexican convention an answer, and they said, "His wife's okay. You wire him and let him know that she's going to be fine." And when he got there, she was fine. And when they traced back the timeline, they found out that as soon as he got on the train and left for Atlanta, she started to progress and get better and better and better, because they stopped the meeting. They stopped a Southern Baptist meeting. And a bunch of preachers just prayed all night for this lady, and she got better. Sometimes it's just steadfastness in prayer that we need to increase our faith. And lastly, but I would probably put it first on my list, is the Scripture. We need Scripture to increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to come to Ephesians chapter 6 and read something with me. I know we're over here, and I just need just a couple more minutes here. But I want everybody to tune in here and see what's going on. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody reads this, and we go through the articles of clothing for the soldier, right? We're in a battle, right? And all this helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and feet shod and all this other stuff, right? All this other stuff is listed. But as you go down through here, I've noticed this for the first time. I have it underlined in my Bible, but for some reason I never did notice it or I forgot about noticing it. But it's real to me now. In verse 16, the first two words are what?
Above all.
So this is a big deal. If it's above all, then it's above all the other stuff that's listed. Am I reading that right? So the most important article is in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able, shall be able, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Are you saved?
Amen.
You're going to need that shield. Satan's going to do everything he can to make you doubt that God can take care of you. Now, can I give you something on a personal note? I need some faith. My wife needs some faith. Okay? And I need this shield now more in my life than I ever have needed. We went for an ultrasound last week and they told us that there could be something wrong with our child. Now, I don't trust the doctors. How about you? But I don't take these things lightly either. But right now, I got to trust God right now.
Amen.
That He's going to take care of it. And right now, I need this shield. Right now, I need faith. My wife needs faith. And we simply need to place ourselves in the hands of God. And just let Him have His will and His way in our lives. But I'm asking Him to take care of it. Because like the Roman centurion, I know He can take care of it.
Amen.
From where He's at right now, I know He can take care of it. And I want you, if you will, with me to ask Him just to take care of it. And whatever happens, we're going to trust God. And whatever happens, my wife's going to trust God. Amen. And I want Emily to come to the piano and she's going to play. Do you need your faith increased? Do you need your faith increased? I do. I do. Now, oftentimes I get up here and preach to you. And I say, look, I'm preaching to myself. I need this and I need that. And I'm preaching it to you, but I need it too. Let me tell you something. More today than ever, I need what I'm preaching to you. Okay? Let's stand. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. We're going to let her play. You come right now and meet me in this altar and let's pray for faith. We need it.
Come on, church. Come on, church. We need to pray.
Thank you.